There may be couples here today, especially I think of young couples, although nowadays even older couples get into severe trouble. But there may be couples here. Some of you are here, husband and wife, and you hardly even dare touch each other because your intention. And some of you may be here alone. Your partner just hasn't come, perhaps for good reason, but perhaps because you are really searching for the Lord and the partner isn't. And I want you to know that there is real hope, and I want to tell you about it. And at the end, I want you to know, couples and those who are alone and because your partner isn't here, and I want to tell you, young people who are still single, who perhaps one day will get married, that if the Lord Jesus comes into your life and you let Him run your life, He will protect you and He will bring the right person into your life to marry right. So all of us, single and married, and even for the some who may be here divorced and you're going through the pain of it, or even if it's several years, you still hurt from it, there is reality in Jesus Christ. There is hope and there is strength and there is power in the name of the Lord. You know, the family is under attack today more than ever, I'm willing to say, in American history. I'm a history buff, and I've read a lot of American history. And although there's been rough times in America, when they were coming out west, it was rough on the people, on the families and the individuals. But now that America has been organized for at least 100, 130 years, pretty much as a serious nation, there has never been a time when, as a nation, the family has been attacked. And now those who attack it have the ability to do it nationwide at the same time. The family is under attack. And all of you men who are married, and even you single fellows who one day will get married, and all of you women and single women also who one day will get married, we should protect and defend and enjoy our family. We mustn't allow the family to be destroyed by those who, for whatever reason, have an inclination to do it. God is here to help us. And the Bible says, where two or three gather together in my name, there am I in the midst. And that begins in the family, then the church, then the Christian schools, and then everything else. But Jesus says, where two or three get together in my name, there am I in the midst. For you singles, if you get married with a girl or a guy who loves Jesus Christ, and you love Jesus Christ, listen, you've got guaranteed the presence of Jesus in your home. But some of you are young couples, and maybe you say to me, well, Luis, I've already goofed it up. I married without Jesus Christ. Yeah, I went to church, but it was just a formality. Or you may say, we just got together, we went to the Justice of the Peace, signed the papers. What about us? Listen, if you haven't got Jesus in your heart and in your home, come to Him tonight. And then some of you perhaps started out right when you were young, and then you got off the track. And somewhere along the line, for whatever reason, you got off the freeway, and you've been off on a side street way out in the hills, lost for several years. And tonight, you're here because you really want to get back with God. You want to bring your family back to God. You want to bring yourself back to God. When I give the invitation, you come too. Get on the freeway again. Get off the side street. Get off the side street and come back to walk with God. If you're here alone and you say to me, Luis, my husband didn't want to come. He's a rebel. I made a mistake, but I'm tired. I want to start over again. Woman, you come when I give the invitation, because Jesus Christ loves you just as you are, but He won't leave you just as you are. He loves you too much to let you be as you are. He'll turn you around and He'll bless you. And nowadays, more and more, there are men in that situation. I talked to a man today, and he's about 32, I figure. His wife just plain walked out on him and left him with a boy and a girl. More and more, there are men whose wild women walk out on him to do what men have been doing for centuries. They think that's the way to pay him back, and they walk out. If you're here as a man, and your wife walked out on you, and you feel the burden, and in a sense, the embarrassment, having to explain yourself, man, come back to Jesus Christ. He loves you. Even if your wife walked out on you, Jesus Christ will never walk out on you. You know, this morning I talked to hundreds of kids in the cafeteria, and I had to say to those boys and girls, something that I never thought we'd ever have to say to boys and girls. I had to say to them, boys and girls, your father or your mother may abandon you, but Jesus will never abandon you. Isn't it sad to have to say that to boys and girls? I never thought the day would come in America when that would happen. But today, there are as many boys and girls without the father or without the mother as there are boys and girls with the father and with the mother. And it's very hard for those boys and girls to actually believe that God Almighty is faithful and loves them, because their father and mother on earth walked out on them, and those boys and girls find it very hard to believe that there's anybody like God who really loves them. And you know, something unique has happened in our generation. In Scotland, they said this to me. You know, Luis, they said, in the old days, parents used to pray for their children. Nowadays, children are having to pray for their parents. Isn't that an amazing statement? And absolutely true. In the old days, it was parents who prayed for the children. Now, I am meeting more and more children and junior hires and high school kids who come up and say, Luis, please pray for my dad because he walked away from us at home. Children praying for their parents. What a state the family is in America. Today, a beautiful four-year-old girl came after me after the children's deal. She brought some wildflowers that she picked from the football field or whatever's next door. She came running, gave me a kiss. Beautiful, chubby girl. I never had girls. I only have four boys. I missed out on that. I got a nice-looking, daughter-in-law, but you can't kiss daughter-in-laws like you kiss little girls, you know. And she came running, this chubby thing, gave me a big kiss. I kissed her, and she came running, and she said, my aunt Beth or something, I can't remember the name. She said, she opened her heart to Jesus this week. She was four. And I said, where did your aunt open her heart to Jesus? She said, she went to the luncheon the other day. She said, I was praying for my Aunt Beth. And the mother said, yes, she's been praying for a year. And she's only four. So since she's been three, she's praying for Aunt Beth. And she said, I knew when you came to town, Mr. Palau, that my Aunt Beth would open her heart to Jesus. So I made a present for her. But she said, you know what happened? The day she opened her heart to Jesus, I lost the present. And she said, then I found it, and I took it to my aunt where she worked. A four-year-old girl praying for Anne, who gave her life to Jesus Christ. But you know, there's so much of an attack on the family that I want to read two passages from the Bible which paint a picture of how the American family is today and the answer to that problem. First, Mark 4. If you don't have your Bible, don't worry. I'll read it for you. That day, when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. And leaving the crowd behind, they took Jesus along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? Jesus got up. He rebuked the wind, and he said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? And they were terrified, and they asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. I read that because I read it this morning in my hotel room, and I thought, you know, that boat is like the American family today. The American family has been hit by furious squalls on the Lake of Life. The waves are breaking all over the boat, and the boat of the American family is almost swamped and sinking. But these disciples, when they were in the sinking boat, did the only rational thing in the world. They screamed, and they said to Jesus, teacher, don't you care that we are drowning? And the Bible says that Jesus was waiting for that scream. He got up, he rebuked the wind, he rebuked the waves, and there was absolute calm. And then he turns to the disciples, and he says, why are you so afraid? Don't you still have any faith? And the disciples, when they saw the fantastic calm that came, were terrified, the Bible says. And they said to each other, who is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? Who is this? You know who he is, ladies and gentlemen and teenagers? This one is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus Christ has power and authority to take a family that is in the midst of the storms of the American family today, and Jesus Christ has authority to calm down a wild man. Jesus Christ has authority and power to calm down a wild woman. And believe me, today there are as many wild women in America as there are men. Women have become wild in this country because they think that is the way to retaliate against men. You know, I have been reading lately in the papers some of the most astonishing statements. I don't have time to read them all, but absolutely the most godless, pagan, destructive stuff is being peddled to American kids and couples today. And many women and many men are following the advice of these godless, pagan, money-grabbing individuals who write books, appear on television shows, and tell whatever they please against the Bible, against society. They don't care as long as they can sell their books. Look at this one. Landing a husband on a 30-day plan. This is a book. Now she said, I conducted a costly, time-consuming survey of 3,000 to 4,000 people. I personally talked to 600 and 700 people. And then she begins to give advice. Now, who is this character? Nobody knows. But there it is in USA Today, and this is the advice. If you girls want to know, it says, don't sleep with him on the first date. Never, never, never. Wait at least until the third date. Now, that's just one little shot at it. There's much more junk. But you know, this stuff is peddled and printed and sold. And you know there are people who follow this advice. No wonder they end up divorced. No wonder they end up beating each other's hide to bits. No wonder they hate each other's guts. No wonder people land from bed to bed today. And more you hear people who sometimes even go to church use the same arguments that these pagan destroyers of the family use. They will say, I have been slaving for you for 12 years on the kids. Now it's time that I go out and do my thing. Now, I want to read another passage from the Bible, now that I got good and hot over that one. And Colossians chapter 3. We just read about the storm. Let me tell you about the answer. The answer. Colossians 3, verse 12. Listen to this. It says, listen carefully. Therefore, as God's chosen people, listen to this, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other. Listen. Forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since you are members of one body and you are called to peace. And be thankful. Listen, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God. And whatever you do, whether it's in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and don't be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Now, tonight could be a great night for all of us here, a great night of decision, a great night in which you as a man or a woman, a teenager, or even a boy and a girl, he can come into your life and into your family and turn many things around. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ has the answer for frustrated American families. And the answer is Jesus himself. Jesus has the answer for your frustration. Jesus has the answer for the bringing up of your kids. Jesus has the answer to love your wife even when she isn't everything that you thought she was going to be. Jesus has the answer for you to love your husband, even though he may not be the tender man that you thought he was going to be. And the answer that Jesus offers is himself. Are American families frustrated today? You better believe it. Today in America, one out of every three families ends up in divorce. And therefore, there is great pain. There's great agony. And many families who are never divorced, nevertheless, are going through tremendous battles and bitterness and unforgiveness. And sometimes they don't divorce because of social reasons or financial reasons or religious conviction. But in their hearts, there's no love. There's no satisfaction. But you know, ladies and gentlemen, why all the pain? Men today are frustrated and frightened and afraid in America like never before. Men are afraid of aggressive women and don't know how to treat these aggressive women. I have found men come to me who are absolutely frightened of the new American female. And then secondly, they're afraid that their wife will walk out on them and leave them alone with the children. Men today are afraid and frightened and frustrated because maybe they're not macho enough. Maybe they're not men enough. They wonder why their wives walk out on them, why they have affairs. And American men feel a tremendous pressure on their life. And then many men today are frightened and are frustrated, afraid that their children will do drugs and go to hell, and they're really hurting. And then many men feel afraid that they're going to fail as husbands and fathers, or that they're going to disappoint their parents or be put down by their wife. You'd be amazed. We have a lot of counseling all over the States. We get hundreds of letters. And I want to tell you, men are feeling the pressure, but so are women. Women are changing in America in many ways. And they're going to the world, and they're going to work, and they're doing all the things that are fine if they want to do it. But you know, thousands of American women are confused and frustrated and frightened. And some of them are in a panic. They're afraid of the raging feminists who insult them and put them down. There are thousands of ordinary American women who have no interest in getting a college degree, going out to work, competing with men. But they're frightened that these aggressive women will get their husbands. And you know, it's a good fear. Not a good fear, it's a realistic fear. I travel a lot with my sons come along, or my wife, or team members. And to me, it's so painful, frankly, to be very honest with you. I'm not a pious idiot, but it does seem painful to me. You go to a hotel, and of course, there's always a bar there. I don't go to the bars, don't worry. But you walk inside a bar, and now I count, there's about 2-to-1 females over the males in the bars in the hotels. And they're in there thinking, this is womanhood. This is the way to live. This is the way to act. And those who don't feel inclined that way are afraid. When my husband's on the road, when he's on business, well, some of these macho women grab my husband and take him away from me. And it's a realistic fear because it's happening all over the place. And if you read Us or Working Woman and so on, which you should read once in a while, they're clean by regular standards. I read them on airplanes for free. I'll tell you, when you read them, you realize the instructions that young women are getting today. How to land a man. How to get rid of sexual frustration. How executive women can conquer a man. How they can work their way up the ladder of success. It's amazing what's going on. And then, of course, many women are afraid that they're missing out on all the supposed fun that they're having out there. And that lie from Satan, because it's devilish, is a pure illusion. All the supposed fun they're having out there, women and men, isn't fun at all. Sure, there's a momentary kick, but when it's over, and you got the memories, and the conscience, and the unwanted pregnancies, and you get rid of the baby, you get rid of the man, and all that is being talked about openly, brazenly, is destroying young girls, destroying women. Do you know that a little girl, sixth grade, was here last night and gave her life to Jesus? You know what she said to the counselor? Sixth grade. She said, "Will God really forgive me for having sex before marriage?" The counselor thought she was just speculating. No. Sixth grade, she'd done it. And mothers and fathers are afraid of what's happening to our kids. I am too. And you know, women are afraid to be left alone, to have to fend for themselves because of an unfaithful man who promised to love her, gave her 3 kids, and then he runs off. And I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, young people and children are afraid. They say the greatest fear of junior hires in America today is, will my dad and mom get a divorce? That's what junior hires worry about most across America. Then, many asking themselves, will I be just like my dad and mom? Will I be an alcoholic just like my father is or my mother is? Will I be untrustworthy just like my folks are? And then the big question they say in colleges, the big question in college students is this: will anyone love me, and will I ever be able to love anybody? And ladies and gentlemen, the American family is being hurt by pornography. The American family is being hurt by loose sexuality that is hurting people. And the depravity that is now loose in America. I tell you, I come from South America. And in South America, I thought that I'd heard it all. I tell you, I have heard things in America that I have never yet to see in Latin America. Today, I talked to a young woman who was converted to Christ when she was 22. And she said, I'm so glad that you speak so plainly and clearly about these things. She said, my home was not a Christian home. And I only got converted when I was 22. Now she's got two beautiful children. I saw them today. She's got a great Christian husband, too. She said, you know, my mother abused me sexually all through my teenage years. I couldn't believe it. And it's happening in this country. Why does it happen? Because of pornography? Because of loose sexuality? Because of the easy divorce? Why most of the girls who are taken advantage of sexually is usually by a stepfather? Because you see, a stepfather comes into the family and there's a teenage girl in there. It's not his daughter at all. It's just a teenage girl. But the girl thinks it's her dad because they're innocent, because they don't realize what they're doing. And so many stepfathers take advantage of their stepdaughters. You women, if you get divorced or you become widowed and you have teenage girls, you got to think about it 5,500 times before you remarry. Because if you have a teenage girl in the house, the temptation for a stepfather is almost beyond control. And all over the world, I don't care what culture, Chinese, European, South American, North American, stepfathers who walk into a family with a teenage girl find it almost impossible to withhold themselves from taking advantage of that girl. America is falling apart. And I tell you, if it goes on much longer, the whole American empire will come down, and it's already coming down. And you know something else that's destroying it? I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you've got to think about it. You young guys, you young couples, and you singles, think about this. Foul talk and filthy talk on television talk shows. Like Billy Graham once said, he said, when I was a kid, I wouldn't have ever thought of walking into a show like that. And it comes into our homes by television. We hardly realize. And then something else. And I know you're going to think, oh, pal, I was getting old. You know what? You've got to watch sexy dressing. And you young girls, you may think the way to land a man is to show your body. Yeah, what kind of a man is the question. If you want a man who will love you till death do us part, if you want a man who will take care of you, listen, he's not going to go for your body first. He'll go for it, of course, eventually. But, naturally, or he would be weird. But, first of all, he wants to know what character you've got. What kind of a spiritual person are you? What kind of a brain do you have? Any man who goes after a woman's body is not worthy. And if you want to win a man by showing off God's good gracious gifts, if he's given you any, you are going up the wrong way. And you know, I know this sounds old-fashioned, and I suppose you'll say, man, I'm never coming to hear this character again. Fine, but never forget it. Because you know, this is the point. It's fine. And men also. I think men get disgusting nowadays. You go to a swimming pool and they wear these little thingies and they think they're such hotshot men. And I know you may say, well, you're skinny, that's why. Okay, so I'm skinny. But the point is this. You act sexy, you dress sexy, you create sexy reactions. You set things up to hurt your children, to hurt your girls. And even if you don't have girls, you're hurting somebody else's. We've got to think, we've got to be wise. Many women come and say, I don't know why men are always coming at me. And you look at them and you say, you want me to tell you why they're always? Because if God has given it to you, but you go around flippy-flopping all over the place, what's going to happen is that men are going to come at you. Now, there are some men who are so perverted, they'll covet a Catholic nun. I know that. I know. That's true. But you know, most of the time, ladies and gentlemen, we have got to use prudence. And the Bible tells us that. The Bible says we got to watch what we say, and we got to watch what we do. You know, when Adam and Eve fell into sin, by the way, the sin they fell into was not sexual relations. Some ignorant people say that the apple was that Adam and Eve had sex. What an ignorance. I mean, God made Adam and Eve, and he made them to enjoy sex. The apple was an apple. It wasn't an apple, it was some fruit. But it was disobedience was the sin. But you know, when they fell into sin, the first thing God did, even before he forgave them, was to put clothes on them. That's right. He went and he made the first jeans in the world. Well, they weren't jeans, but you know. Why? I don't know exactly 100% why, but if God did that when the race fell into sin, there is a lesson there. And all of us, if we're honest, know that this is true. Now, the other thing is this. What can Jesus Christ do for the family today? Ladies and gentlemen, let me put it this way. Jesus brings sanity and stability to the madness that is going on in America today. Why do I call it madness? Because it is madness. The way men are destroying themselves, they promise a young girl they're going to love her till death, and presumably they mean it. And the other night on Channel 12, if you were listening, this one professional said he's only been married 2 months, and he's already been unfaithful to his wife. 2 months! And that's madness, because it's self-destruction. And you know, I believe, because I believe in the Bible, that it comes originally from Satan himself. I know many people laugh today and say, oh Lord, you believe in Satan? You better believe I do. What makes a rational university graduate, a professor in a university, who has a great wife and 3 great kids, suddenly take off like a madman after some student in the classroom? And then when he's had his whatever, he comes and he says, I don't know what came over me. I really never intended to do it. It was a moment of passion. We were having a little hassle with a wife, and this girl in the classroom was so, you know, sexy, and I want to go back to my wife, but she won't take me. What makes an intelligent, bright, great man make such an incredible mistake, which is more than a mistake, it's a sin? Jesus Christ can come into your life, the life of your kids, and your wife and your husband, ladies and gentlemen, and bring sanity and stability. You say, how can he do that? You say to me, Jesus Christ lived 2,000 years ago. How can he do something for me in the 20th century? Yes, Jesus Christ lived 2,000 years ago as a man. And he died on a cross almost 2,000 years ago. And he took care of the guilt of the race on that cross. And he was buried. But ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And Jesus Christ is alive tonight. Now you may say to me, Luis, I have a hard time believing that. I'll tell you, take a step of faith and believe it. And you're going to see the change in your life. First of all, Jesus comes into the family and into our hearts in person. And I want to tell you that if you open your heart to Christ, he will come into your life and your family in a real way. My wife opened her life to Christ when she was an 8-year-old girl. I did it when I was just entering my teens. We met when we were in our 20s. We got married with Jesus as our Lord. And we give him the credit that we've had these boys and that we've been able to lead them in the things of God. And God has been good to us. But we owe it to Jesus Christ. He lives in my heart. And the Bible says, Jesus says, here I am, he says in Revelation 3:10. Here I am. I stand at your door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into you and eat with you and you with me. Here I am, says Jesus. You young fellows who are married recently, young men, Jesus says to you young men, here I am, here I am. I stand at your door and knock. He says to you middle-aged men and women who's already got teenage kids and you're worried about their future and you haven't taught them the ways of God. He says to you middle-aged people, here I am, says Jesus. I am standing at your door and knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into you. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ brings sanity and stability by coming into your heart and into your home in person. The Bible says, Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. When you open your heart to Christ, it isn't that you suddenly become a religious nut or you suddenly become very churchy. No, it's far more. Ladies and gentlemen, he comes to live within us in person by the Holy Spirit of God. And you young men, with your temptations and having to adjust to your new wife, Jesus Christ will help you to adjust to your wife and handle your temptations. You young women who may be going through the rough moments of a new marriage or a recent marriage, up to 7 years, there's a lot of clearing up, you know, that goes on in a marriage. The first 3 are really rough. The
The next four, a little less rough if you got Jesus. Then after 7 years, it gets a little easier. But without Jesus Christ, no wonder people get into heavy fights. No wonder they beat each other up. No wonder they get drunk. No wonder they take off. Without Jesus Christ, it's almost impossible to develop a good marriage. Secondly, Jesus comes with guidance and with direction. How? He gives us the manual. The best marriage manual in the world is the Bible. And fellows, ladies and gentlemen, if you've never gotten into the Bible, I challenge you to do it tonight once you've opened your heart to Christ. If you don't open your heart to Christ, you're going to read it and you're going to say, for crying out loud, I don't get anything here. This is heavy stuff. But when you open your heart to Christ, you begin to understand it. Because you see, God gives you the Holy Spirit when you open your heart to Christ. And the Holy Spirit is the person of the Trinity that inspired the apostles and the prophets. So the same one who inspired the apostles indwells you, and you can understand it. Especially I recommend the book of Psalms, the book of Proverbs, and the New Testament. It is the marriage manual of all marriage manuals. Ladies and gentlemen, if we read the book of Proverbs a chapter a day, which is short, I do it almost every day, and if you read two or three chapters from the New Testament, and with the power of the Holy Spirit, you obey it, believe me, men, you will be a fantastic husband. Believe me, women, you would be fabulous wives. You don't have to waste a lot of money on Cosmopolitan, Woman's Day, whatever, all those things. You for sure are not going to read Playboy and Hustler and all that junk. You don't need all that. The Bible has a fantastic way of talking about every angle of life, even sexuality. You take the book of the Song of Solomon, and there it tells you about the beauty of the human body, about the beauty of a woman, the attraction of a man to a woman. The Song of Solomon is the best sex manual in the whole world. And the beauty of it is pure. It isn't junky. It isn't garbage. It doesn't make you feel dirty. When you finish reading, I remember when I was single and I dreamt of getting married. Once in a while, I'd sneak through the Song of Solomon, you know. But I used to read it and I used to say, wow, when will I have my own woman and be able to go through the Song of Solomon with my wife? Of course, when I got married, I got into it a little bit and she was really embarrassed. She said, oh, get off it, you know. But the fact is that the Bible has it all. And some of you old-timers, maybe you feel, gee, isn't that a little overdone? No. If God inspired it, no problem. I remember when the twins were little and we used to read through the Bible year after year. When we got to the heavy passages, the beauty of it is you can talk about sex and things when you do that with your kids from a pure standpoint because it's the Word of God. And the beauty of it is because it's the Word of God, even though it talks about incest, it talks about everything that you could ever imagine. A brother doing it to his sister, a father doing it to the daughter, a father-in-law doing it to the daughter-in-law. Everything is there. But it's written in such a way that you don't get dirty ideas, you don't get perverted ideas. It kind of cleanses you out. It's the best manual in the world. And when Jesus Christ comes into your family, he comes with guidance and direction. The Bible says, how can a young man keep his way pure by guarding it according to your word. Your word I have hid in my heart so that I might not sin against you. And fellows and girls and ladies and gentlemen, the best thing we can do to protect our boys and girls from really wrecking their life is teaching them Bible memory passages from the Bible. The best protection is not to talk about condoms and AIDS all the time, but show them the Word of God. If you help them to memorize passages from the Bible, you're going to protect your kids 50,000 times like no sex education or anything else will do. Now, we need some sex education. But I mean, this is the real protection. Thirdly, Jesus, listen to this. Jesus comes with forgiveness and a new beginning because he loves your family. In a big crowd like this one, there could be many of you who are sitting there feeling bad and maybe you feel guilty. And you say, Luis, get off it. You're making me feel worse. You say to me, I've already failed. Maybe as a teenager, you committed sexual immorality and you carry the load on your conscience. Maybe you took advantage of a girl and it's been a long time, but you can never forget it. Or maybe you as a woman enticed a married man and you did it and you feel terrible. And you say, all this stuff that Luis is talking about is for all the holy Joes who who go to church, but me, there's no hope for me. Listen, Jesus comes with forgiveness and a new beginning. He loves your family and He loves you. You may say, well, Luis, I've been married and remarried 3 times. I've got kids from all these other families. Is there any hope for me? You better believe it. The first step is this. Jesus comes with forgiveness and a new beginning. The Bible says Christ died for our sins and He was buried and He rose again on the 3rd day to forgive us our sins. The Bible says, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this, the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. God says, as far as the east is from the west, so far He removes our transgressions for us. The Bible says, God says, listen, it's beautiful, your sins and iniquities I will remember no more. The Bible says, repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Be baptized so that you may be forgiven and receive the Holy Spirit. Ah, ladies and gentlemen, I know almost all of us have something we wish never to remember. Even teenagers and even preteens have done their little things. We all have our memories. That's why we all need Jesus Christ. That's why you young men, you young women, and you older ones, if you're honest, you know you need the forgiveness of God. I need it. I've needed it, and I continue to need it. Because Jesus died for me as well as for you. And the Bible says, to all those who receive Him, who believe in His name, He gives them power to become children of God. You say, Luis, I don't understand it. Jesus died 2,000 years ago. How could He take care of my guilt when He died in about the year 34? I don't understand it 100%. But ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says this, God laid on Him the sins of us all. He took our guilt and He laid it on Jesus. And if you feel guilty tonight and you say, Luis, I've messed up my family already. Or you say, Luis, I've messed up my family. My wife doesn't know, but I know what I know. The Lord says, whatever it is, I'll forgive you. I'll wash you. I'll cleanse you. But ladies and gentlemen, we have to make a decision. First, what can we do? First, you must realize that Christ comes with supernatural power. The Bible says, listen to this, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Some of you guys may say to me, Luis, it's fine for God to forgive me the past. But what about tomorrow? And what about next week? And somebody may be in the armed forces and you may say, Luis, I'm gone from my wife for 3 months. I can't overcome temptation. Listen, if you open your heart to Christ, you will receive supernatural power. The Bible says you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The Bible says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Come and give your life to Christ. You men, what can you do? Men, act like men. Act like Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the model man. First, turn to your wife and promise her that you will love her forever and that you will be tender with your wife forever. That's the decision I'm asking all men and young fellows, even if you're not married. Make a decision in your heart as a young man and say, the day the Lord gives me a girl and a wife, I will promise her that I will love her with everlasting love and that I will be tender with her forever and ever. You know, the Bible says in Colossians 3:19, did you notice what it says? It says, husbands, love your wives and don't be harsh with them. I hope every man that's here, whether you're a committed Christian or not, tonight you will turn to your wife and say, woman, I'm going to love you like never before. And I'm going to be tender with you. And I will be faithful till my dying day. Woman, I love you. And with the love of Jesus, I will care for you more than ever before. I tell you, a man that loves his wife, he doesn't have to worry about his manhood or his sexuality. If you really touch her and love her and are tender with her, she will love you in return like you can never imagine. Second, men, turn to your children and promise to be a dedicated and a kind dad. The Bible says, fathers, don't embitter your children or they will become discouraged. Turn to your children, put your hands on the head of your children, and say to each one of them by name, Johnny, I love you. I love you most of all because Jesus loves you. And Johnny, I'm putting my hands on your head to bring a blessing on your life. Johnny, in the name of Jesus, I bless you, and I love you, and I will be a father to you till you grow up and become a father yourself. Bless your children. Put your hands on them, and even the little baby. There's a man with a little baby. Even though the baby doesn't know, you do it to your little baby. You men, the Bible says that the man is the head of the house. That means that the man is to bless his wife and bless his children. And with the power of the Holy Spirit, I tell you, men, you will become so powerful. You lay your hands on your wife and say, I'm your husband and I love you. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I'm asking for his blessing on your life. I'll tell you, you're going to find it very hard to play games when you do that. And a man should do that, a real man. I challenge you, men, go home and do it tonight. And then thirdly, men, turn to Jesus. Some of you gentlemen are grandfathers, I can tell. Some of you are middle-aged men. Some of you are very young men. Men, listen carefully. Turn to Jesus and say to him, Jesus, come into my heart and come into my home. But there are women here tonight. And I want to say to you women, women, be like women. Don't try to be imitation men. God made a woman to be a woman. A woman is to be tender and kind and gentle and warm and loving. People are desperate to find women like that today. You say, Luis, if I'm like that, they're going to run all over me. Don't believe such garbage. Jesus Christ will protect you. Jesus Christ will guard you. If you walk with him, he will make you a complete woman for his glory. And I say to you women tonight, women, when I give the invitation, you come too. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the invitation. How many of you as individuals, listen carefully, have never asked Jesus into your heart? This is your moment of decision. You say, Luis, I've got scrambled eggs all over the place. It's true you cannot unscramble scrambled eggs, but you can be washed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You say, well, Luis, what shall I do? You've got to do what I did. Simply invite Christ into your heart and into your home. It's like if I go to your house after the meeting tonight and I knock on the door, you look out the window, I want to come into your house, you've got to make a decision. If you want me to come in, all you have to do is just fling open the door and say, hey, Luis, welcome, man. Come on in, sit down, the house is yours, and I walk into your house. And Jesus Christ says to each one of you right now, he says, I am standing at your door and knocking. If you've heard my voice, he says, just open the door, Jesus says, and I will come into you and eat with you and you with me. Oh, how I hope, ladies and gentlemen, that not one of you will reject the Savior, Jesus Christ, the Savior of your soul, the Savior of your family, the Savior of your eternal destiny.